with Mr. Paul Dalton here in Scottsville, Kentucky, Allen County. It's August 30th, 1983. Are you agreeable to being interviewed on tape, Mr. Dalton?
Yes.
And just to make my records correct, will you please spell your full name?
P-A-U-L-D-A-L-T-O-N.
And you do have a middle initial, no, a
well,
first
that's
name.
Well, that's my middle name.
All right, and your first initial is A.
A, yes.
You don't use a first name?
No.
Okay.
Only in the Army.
Only in the Army.
Is somebody going over yonder?
And that's all right. What is your spouse's name?
May, M-A-E.
All right. Would you spell her first name, her full name?
Well, her full name is Lily Mae Dalton.
Okay. And Lily is spelled in the usual way?
L-I-L-L-I-E.
Your occupation?
I'm retired.
You're retired. How long have you retired what now?
Well, I started out as a teacher, and then I worked for an interval in the Kentucky State Bank here in Scottsville, and then I worked for the United States Post Office for 31 years. I've retired two or three times.
How long have you lived at this address?
14 years.
Where did you live before?
At Holland, Kentucky.
Where's Holland?
It's in the eastern part of Illinois.
And when did you live there?
I lived there for 35 years, from 1934 until 1969.
Is that where you were born?
No, I was born here close to Scottsville.
Where, want to tell me about?
Well, it was 3 miles out of Scottsville in a southerly direction on Kentucky Highway 101 South.
Where were your parents from?
They are native Allen Countyans. They were native Allen Countyans.
And what were their names?
My mother's name was Nellie, and my father's name was Harvey.
And what was your mother's full name, her maiden name?
Well, she was born in Gilmore.
Nellie Gilmore. And what were their occupations?
Well, my father was a farmer. Mother was for the housewife.
Homemaker.
She had the busy job, but she just had the 10 children.
What is your religious preference?
I'm a Baptist.
How old are you?
I'm halfway between 75 and 76.
All right, what is your birth date?
April 6, 1908.
Where did you go to school?
In Scottsville, my grade in high school was here. And now you want the full thing?
Yes, mm-hmm. Tell me all
then
about
out
your
of
schooling.
High school, I attended.
Well, how about before high school? Where did you go to grade school?
Well, grade school and high school here,
here.
In Scottsville.
Okay.
Yes. And then I went to Kentucky, Western Kentucky Teachers College. I have an A.B. from Western in 33 and a master's in 36.
Okay.
And if you want to go any further than that?
Sure. All of it.
Well, I had 3 years in the Army, and I was fortunate enough while I was overseas that I attended a term at the University of Paris, and then I obtained another term at Cambridge University in England.
And what dates were that?
Well, we were in the middle 40s. Actually, festivities were over with Germany, you know. I had a little time to spare, so I took made use of it.
When did you learn to quilt?
I was born to it. With the 10 children in our family, the main occupation we had on the winter nights was working on quilts.
And you were included in that?
Well, I had the odd jobs. You know, it was quite a bit to do and all. And cutting out the squares and piecing them together and hanging up the frame, you know, and taking it down and keeping it rolled up for the convenience of the rest of them. So I was in the middle of it.
Oh. And you cut out and participated in the
little
sewing?
Oh. I never did make, no. I never did complete a quilt at that time.
But you did assist in the quilt making?
Yes, I was connected with it.
How old were you when you actually learned to quilt?
Oh my goodness. Let's see, 76. How old was I in 76? That's been about 8 years. I guess I was about 67 years old when I made my first quilt.
It took a while, didn't it? Who taught you to quilt?
My wife got me interested in it. She was quite gifted at embroidering, and it started on those cold nights we had a few years ago, you know, I believe it was 76 was the first one we had. And I was sitting around here watching her do some embroidery work, and she said, why don't you do some embroidery work? So I made a little sketch. We were getting close to our 50th wedding anniversary, and I made a little sketch depicting that, and started embroidering, and that turned out to be the first piece of the quilt that I made.
Oh, yes, you are a rather gifted artist, if I may call attention to that.
I worked at that all of my life. Even in the graves, I like to draw, you know, things like that.
You have paintings that you have exhibited, etc.
Yes.
And what was this quilt you made while you were learning to quilt?
Well, I just expanded only one sketch that I made, and some other ideas I had in mind, and by the time I made half a dozen different sketches and pieces, well, it developed into a quilt, and so that was the first one that I did.
And the theme for that quilt was your 50th anniversary?
It was a little connected with it, but it was more a story of my life. In other words, things depicted on there are things that I've been through. For example, I was a Boy Scout, and I was later a Scoutmaster, and of course Scout medals and things like that were depicted. Then I taught school first in a one-room rural school, and one was a sketch of recess, which was the busiest part of the day, you know, and the teacher had to oversee all the activities on the ground. Then also a medal that I got for attending Sunday school, you know. And I happen to be a Kentucky colonel, and they have a badge, you see.
Oh.
And my wife and I have always liked to visit, and we visited three different world's fairs, and I have a little section depicting that, and a trip up the Alaska Highway to Alaska is depicted on that. As I mentioned, Jimmy Carter got his picture on it. Flags, the Allen County has the official flag and the Kentucky state flag, and then of course the centennial flag. Then also pets, we had the German Shepherd dog, and we still have Bud the cat and his pictures on it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I remember Bud.
Yeah, so it's just intimate personal things, you see. And I'm a diabetic and have to wear a little gem around my neck, you know, to identify that, and just things that pertain to personal things.
Then actually this is a family portrait quilt. I
traces
your life.
You know, a few years ago they had the This Is Your Life program, thing like that. So that's probably the idea I had in mind, is making a personal thing out of it.
Mm-hmm. I might interject here, having seen this quilt, that Mr. Dalton sketched each of these things and then embroidered them with embroidery floss and used crewel stitches to enhance them in great detail and in beautiful color. You can see the picture of the family cat and recognize the cat when you see it. Each square of this particular quilt is an artist picture in itself. Who else in your family quilted, Mr. Dalton?
My mother.
Your mother?
Of course, she did most of the quilting, and with all those children, well, it took a lot of quilts. So we were quite busy most of the time working on one quilt or another.
And you actually didn't take up quilting then until, what, 7 or 8 years ago?
That's right. Mm-hmm. 76.
And that was the first serious quilting you did on
your
own?
Yes, it was. Yeah.
Okay. How much time do you spend quilting?
Well, I spent the winter of 76 and 77 on making the first one.
Mm-hmm.
And I was lucky enough to get through about the time the winter got through with it.
So this is your wintertime activity?
Yes, that's right, yeah.
Where do you like to quilt? What part of the house are you in usually?
Here in the den.
And how long a time do you work at it?
I don't have any time limit. I just work till I get tired or something pulls me away from it and return later on.
Then the time of day, too, is just according to?
Usually after the evening meal.
And your quilt designs then are all original, aren't they?
Yes, they are all original.
Do you want to tell me about your quilts, the different ones you've made? Now, you have one that's your family album, so to speak.
Shall we continue with the family one then?
Yes, if there's more you want to tell me about it.
Yeah, I entered it in the Western Kentucky contest in the fall of 77. I didn't win any prizes in it, but I was told privately that next year they were considering having a novelty class, because I've known all the way along that a novelty quilt is not going to have much weight in where we have the old standard traditional patterns. It's like I found out I used to coach basketball and baseball in high school. They called what we call a home cooking. You understand the term home cooking as far as athletic events are concerned?
Not really.
Well, you know, you have to play half of your games away from home, and when you go there, you have to put up with the home crowd and the home referees a lot, and most every coach feels he's lucky when he wins away from home. In other words, I realize that a novelty quilt in a competition against the old standard quilts and all is about like putting a quarter horse up against a five gated thoroughbred, you see.
Right.
So I'm not surprised what happened. Anyway, I was told I'd probably have won something if it hadn't been an novelty quilt.
Well, we'll get on to some awards here in a few minutes. Then, what in your opinion makes a good quilt?
Well, color, of course, has a lot to do with it. And balance, I think there should be some relation between the different pieces, the coordination of color and balance. And of course, workmanship has a lot to do with it. That was one of my problems, because I have five thumbs on each finger. I'm left-handed too, so.
Well, now. Why do you make quilts?
Well, it's a sort of a therapy, I guess. In that first one, the idea was having something to do in my time. And I just wanted to develop an idea to see if I could do it. It's a sort of a challenge. I have worked most every kind of craft you can think of. My wife, about 40 years ago, was a charter member of one of the first homemakers clubs. And I entered in most of the craft work and worked a lot of it. This little table, for example, there was one of the first things it's a utility table. And I made that for my wife to work on. It's real useful. And before I got through, I think I made one for each one of the other 25 members in the whole club. So I worked about as many projects as any of the homemakers did.
So actually you do it as a pleasurable pastime.
Yes, that's right, yeah. And I've been a diabetic for the last 15 years, and it's a sort of a therapy, you know. Mm-hmm.
Something to do with your hands tired. Besides eat.
Right.
What do you find most satisfying about the quilting process, the design or the embroidery, the quilt?
Well, it's just the feeling that you are accomplishing something. And it's when it's completed, something you can enjoy. And I always like to be busy, in fact. You might call it occupational therapy, because it keeps you busy and your mind off of anything.
That's very true. Have you ever quilted with other persons, quilting bees or quilting parties?
No.
If you've not participated in those kind of activities?
No, I haven't.
Have you ever heard the term Kentucky quilt?
Kentucky quilts.
Mm-hmm. If somebody wants a Kentucky quilt,
mm-hmm.
All right, what does that refer to in your opinion? What is a Kentucky quilt?
Well, our forefathers, foremothers, I guess you'd say, quilted out of necessity. And it's part of the pioneer life, it was. And the fact that a lot of those that have come down to us gives us an insight of their abilities and the kind of quilts that they made, and just a lot of things that are part of our heritage.
And then a Kentucky quilt is then you see it as part of our heritage.
It is a heritage.
Alrighty.
Yeah. I have another example, maybe later on you want to sum it up.
Sum it up now.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, let me ask you this question. Are you a Kentucky native?
No, I am not.
You're not. Well, you probably, how long have you been acquainted with Kentuckians?
Well, I've been exposed to Kentuckians since 1972, but I've only lived in the community since 1978.
Have you ever run across any speech that's different?
Oh, colloquialisms, of course.
Yeah. Okay.
Then you say a quilt has that same kind of a signature, a Kentucky quilt?
Yeah. But anyway, the heritage.
Lucky here, honey.
The heritage I'm talking about is that we still have that heritage with us. A lot of our people, especially the old ones, still use the old pronunciation and old words that have gone out of regular use now, you see.
Mm-hmm.
I made a study of that while I was over at Western. In fact, I wrote my thesis along that line. And, for example, a farmer complained because his tobacco is too brittle. And what's he saying?
I have no idea.
You don't know what the word brittle means?
No, I don't.
It's too brittle.
Too brittle.
If
that's what I would have guessed, but...
Uh-huh. Okay. Did you ever hear anyone refer to a chimney as a chimney?
Yes, I have. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, now there are hundreds and hundreds of those words and pronunciations you see. And where did they come from? Well, they brought them over when they came over as pioneers. They came and settled here in Kentucky mountains or in the rural region, and they were too busy establishing homesteads to go to school, and so their language was perpetuated orally. And those old words and pronunciations still remain with us to a limited extent. Of course, it's just dying away. But that is another heritage that we have.
Do you see quilting as dying away?
No, I think it just opposite. I thank goodness it's being revived in it.
I hope you're right.
It's just, I think, a matter of being interested enough to take enough time to get involved in it.
Have you ever taught anyone else to quilt?
No. I'm quite amused sometimes since I've been making a few quilts for some of my neighbors that have little problems with putting the quilts together, come around and get me to straighten them out. So maybe in that way I've been able to help them a little bit, maybe not taught them something, but anyway, I've been involved with it.
You've had to share your expertise.
Yes.
Do you use quilt magazines or publications or books at all in the composition or the making of your quilt, or in as reference for your choice of quilts or patterns? Or
now, what are you asking? Do I use them?
Do you use quilt books or pattern books, or are your quilts all original?
Well, I'll answer that in this way. The one I made with the birds and the bees all on it.
Look up here.
I went to the library and got books on birds and things like that, and used them in making my sketches. But as far as the pattern and all, or since my patterns were original, there wasn't much I could find along that line.
So actually, the publications that you use are more reference material to expand on your original ideas.
That's right.
And quilt books per se aren't really a part of your quilting or working process.
I thought about reading up on stitches and all, but I still don't know one stitch from another. I just take a needle and piece of thread and paint a picture with it.
Well, I can attest to that. I've seen some of this artwork of yours. What do you do with your finished quilts?
Well, right now they're upstairs in the cedar chest, and I bring them down quite often, and people come around and want to look at them. So.
Actually, you could have your own museum, couldn't you?
And of course, they have been put in competition at local fairs and at the Kentucky Heritage Contest, I believe 2 years ago in Glasgow, I heard one.
Then you don't have any quilts that are beginning to wear out, actually.
No.
Do you have any family quilts that, you know, you got from your mother, or things that were handed down?
My wife has one about 100 years old, belonging to her great-grandmother.
And, but you really, you don't have old quilts that you've had to recycle, or you haven't entered into repairing quilts when they wear out?
No.
Okay. Now, do you sell your quilts?
Pardon?
Do you sell your quilts?
No. Unlike the man that we had in the federal court over at Bowling Green one time, who was brought up for selling whiskey, and he told the judge he never did sell any. The judge said, "You're right, sure?" He said, "Yeah, I don't have enough to drink myself." So far,
okay.
I don't have a freckle or a quilt. I just have the three.
Do you sign your quilts?
Well, on one, I made a sort of a caricature of myself. Means of signing it. I do have my names on them in some
That's
case
it.
Or another
okay.
to identify them.
That's fine. Now tell me about the shows you have entered, and tell me about the prizes that you've won.
I have three quilts, and they have won a total of five blue ribbons. The first entry was in the Western Kentucky quilt show, and I didn't get any awards in it.
Then now, that was your family album quilt,
yes,
wasn't it?
Yes, that was the first one that I made.
Mm-hmm.
Then the following year, the Al Schuster Club of Bowling Green had a craft show.
Was that in 1978?
I believe it was 77.
In 77?
77.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And a niece of mine belonged to that club, and she suggested that I enter it. So she called me up the day before it ended and said, now the local TV will be on a certain hour, and you tune in on it. So the announcer came on and said, well, said, it finally happened. Said the old sister club had a craft fair, and a man won first prize in the clothing contest. So that quilt won the first, the blue ribbon for the best quilt, and also the best article entered in the show. So got two ribbons at that time. Then all three have been entered in the Allen County Fair. Here in Scottsville, and each one has won the blue ribbon. Then I entered the Kentucky Heritage Contest at Glasgow, I believe, 2 years ago. And I got a score card from that. It was scored on the basis of 9. And my score was 9, but I didn't receive any ribbon.
So I see.
It's like I mentioned a while ago, that's a little bit like home cooking. In other words, as I said before, novelty quilts just can't compete with the old established
traditional pattern.
That's right, yeah.
They have to have a category all by themselves.
Well, they told me at the end of that, said, now next year we plan to have a novelty class.
And so are you going to enter again when they have a novelty class? There is another Kentucky Heritage Quilt Show coming up in the spring of 84.
Yes.
And the information I have on it does include a wider range of classifications, and I believe there is one for that.
It all depends on the family conditions. Right now I'm babysitting on a 24-hour basis.
Yes.
And I have a book that indicates there's more to it than that. It's
the 36-hour day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes I feel like I put in 36 hours a day.
Yes.
I
would editorialize a minute. The 36-hour day is a book that Mr. Dalton has, a family guide to caring with persons with Alzheimer's disease. And he is doing just that. So you have, what, 5 blue ribbons for 3 quilts, and they were local county fair and Bowling Green events. Have you ever entered one in the state fair?
No. I have 2 sisters in Louisville that have urged me to do it, but it would necessitate so much travel that I really can't take care of this time that I haven't entered.
I see.
I may do it later on.
Has there been a change in people's attitude about quilting, in your opinion?
I think so.
And could you elaborate on that?
Well, it's a revival of...
Just a moment, please.
Yes.
We're back, recording on the other side of the tape. Now, if you'll tell me about this, how you see the change in attitudes toward quilting.
People, I think, have become more interested in learning all about the different things included in our heritage. Interest in family trees, interest in antique furniture, old grandfather's clocks, as you have here on the mantel. Quilts are a part of it as much as anything. And whenever we have local sales around here and anything is put up as an antique, that's going to bring a premium price. So it's all part of the being interested in who we are and why we became what we are.
And you see quilting as being an integral part of that.
I think so, yes.
And what is the value of quilting at this point, would you say?
The value to the person doing the quilting? Is that what you mean?
Well, however, the person doing the quilting or to the community, the value in quilting at this point in time. What is the value of it, you think?
Well, there's a value to the person who does the work, the satisfaction of being able to accomplish something. And then if His quilts are good enough to gain recognition. That gives him a little pride in his work.
Indeed.
They are useful if it gets cold enough. I might even have to put one on my bed some night.
But you haven't done that yet, have
no,
you?
No, I have not.
And then the continuing record of our, or the keeping of the heritage, I guess, is part of that too.
Yes.
When you're making your quilts, what do you have favorite colors?
Well, red, white, and blue, I guess. I've used those more than anything else. I've used that especially in the
columns.
Those were the dominant colors, of course, in the quilts that I made depicting the 50 state flags.
Now, you haven't talked about that quilt. Let's hear a little bit about that.
All right. Naturally, you would find more red, white, and blue in state flags than any other. And, of course, there's a different story behind every state flag. There's a story behind each individual flag. And I learned a lot, of course, that I didn't know in doing research on that, because I had to research the state flag of each state and find the story behind it.
And then you reproduced these on fabric and embroidered them and put them together in a quilt.
That's right. I made the sketch on paper first, of course, and then transferred it to the fabric and then embroidered it.
And now you have your quilt of the state flags, and then you have your family album. Now, what's the subject matter of the third quilt?
Well, I call it Birds and Bees because it's made up mostly of flowers and birds and insects, butterflies, moths, just things of beauty that you have around you.
And are they all Kentucky birds, bees,
yes,
and flowers?
Yes. A lot of the flowers we grew ourselves. And, for example, I had bumblebee on a thistle, and I went to a neighboring field and cut a thistle and captured a bumblebee and brought it home so I could make the colors and all authentic, you see.
Yes, I have seen this quilt, and it is accurate in infinite detail. It's to see these quilts, it is well, I don't know a word to describe how beautiful they are and how well done. I would hope that they are exhibited more broadly than you have thus far made them available to the public. So most of your quilts, just by the nature of their subject matter, have more red, white, and blue in them than,
yes,
than anything else.
Those are dominant colors.
What kind of a frame do you use when you're quilting?
I have suspended from the ceiling.
Oh, right.
I have the four rails, and they can be taken apart, you see. It just takes just a minute or two to suspend them from the ceiling and then roll them up, take them out of the way.
Then you actually don't use a lap frame or a hoop frame. You use a traditional hang-from-the-ceiling quilt frame.
That's right. That's what I was raised with.
And that's the one you're comfortable
with. Yes.
How have the materials used in quilting changed over the years? Are you in a position to speak to that?
Well, the biggest change is that they're very hard to find.
What specifically?
Well, for example, the last quilt that I made, when I got ready to put the lining of the backing on it, I had to get the material for it out of wool.
What did you use?
Well, I finally wound up by taking a new sheet that we had here that never been used and using it.
What would you have preferred?
Well, a few years ago, on the market, you could get goods made especially for that purpose.
And you couldn't find any now?
The closest store that I could find anywhere was in Louisville. My sister lived up there, was able to get it for me.
Oh.
Then you can't find the traditional kinds of fabric that you want for your backing. What do you use, muslin or cotton or what for your background
stay with
for your
cotton as much as I can, and it's in cotton combinations, you know, that I've had to use.
But you would prefer all cotton?
Yes, I would.
Do you applique quilts, or have your, they've all been embroidery, haven't they?
All been embroidered.
How do you evaluate a good quilt stitch when you're quilting? How, tell me about quilting stitches.
Well, of course, I try to make them all the same size. And, I don't know that I really thought much about it. I just tried to give it a neat appearance and it went along.
Neat and even.
Yes.
Do you remember how many stitches to the inch you have in your quilting?
About eight, I think, is an average.
That's very good.
Yeah.
And you do use crewel stitches, or just, you don't name the stitches that you use. All of your quilts are embroidered.
That's right.
And then they're set together with sashing, are they not?
What?
You have strips between the squares.
Yes, that's right.
Okay. And you say you do have your name on all of your quilts.
Yes,
you
do.
Sign them.
Yes, I do.
You make up your own designs, because this has been, well, the subject matter that you chose is that which you...
Well, the idea was original to begin with, so I carried out my ideas and made sketches pertaining to them, so it is original. For example, this is the last little piece that I have done. It's a butterfly on a... get the name of it, the flower.
Looks like, is it a hibiscus?
It is.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is, you see.
I'm looking at a framed piece of embroidery that is a red hibiscus done in the tiniest of crewel embroidery stitches, and with the color lines in the leaves and the stamens done in such detail that I could look at this and name it as a hibiscus. By just its appearance, with a black butterfly. Now, what do you know the species?
That's the swallowtail butterfly.
The swallowtail butterfly, done with the detail in color and incredible outline work. It's a very beautiful piece, and the flower and butterfly are attached to a piece of wood, which is then it looks like a mat board, and then framed along with a
it's a sort of three-dimensional,
effect. And this speaks to Mr. Dalton's approach to his quilt designs and quilt patterns. They are all original designs, because those were the things that appealed to you and that came to your mind that you wanted
something
to
do. Around you every day is something you can see and enjoy.
And
for,
you prefer...
For example, we have a hummingbird feeder hanging there.
Yes.
We get the swarms of them twice a year as they migrate north in April, and as they come back south in August and September. And this is the type that we get. The ruby-throated hummingbird is the type that comes to our section here.
This is a piece of embroidery on muslin and framed of this ruby-throated hummingbird approaching morning glories. And it, too, is done in infinite color and marking detail. And it's very small, as a hummingbird should be, and framed. It's beautifully done. Then your favorite quilt patterns are those that you have created. You really don't piece quilts, per se.
Things I'm familiar with.
Things that you're familiar with.
Things I can enjoy.
That you reproduce. As the artist you are, and then paint, in effect, with embroidery thread and put together in quilts. I feel like I've hardly scratched the surface in hearing about your quilts. I guess I have some prejudice here, since I've seen them and I know how beautiful they are. And it's a privilege to interview you and to share your quilting experience.
Thank you. The pleasure's all mine.
And it is indeed to our advantage that to have this privilege to put your interview in the archives. Thank you very much, Mr. Dalton.
Thank you for coming.